I have to agree with Norman. I think the blessing of a little child, and especially just to see the new one come into the world, it's an expression of God's love. So I enjoy that myself. Seems like it has been some time since I stood before you. My brother Jim asked me, well, do you have a long sermon? And I showed him my page, and he goes, uh-oh. So I hope you bear with me. I would like to speak about the times in which we're living now and those things that are before us. There's things in which we need to understand and to prepare our hearts and our minds that when these things come upon us, they won't come upon us unawares. And that we would be ready for whatever thing that might be our lot given to us by our Lord as to serving Him within our lives. Let's turn to Matthew, the 24th chapter. In there is the whole 24th chapter deals with the events of after Christ had died and then continuing on into our time and then the return of Christ. And as he was speaking to his disciples, they were inquisitive and they desired to know and understand some of these things that were to take place. I'd like to begin around the third verse of the 24th chapter of Matthew. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There were those that felt that this time in which he was speaking of, in the sixth verse, that there are wars and rumors of wars and the trouble, and all these come to pass, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That happened to the people there after Christ's death. There were wars and rumors of wars, and not only that, Jerusalem was overtaken, and the people scattered. But he was warning them at this time. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Let's back up a little bit. When we were reading this in the ninth, or when I was reading this in the ninth verse, they say, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. That happened to the Jews during the time of Christ, and then afterwards, even more so, clear up until Constantine, around 312, declared that Christianity could exist within the Roman Empire without being persecuted. But we know also that it has happened in the advent of time, clear up even to this time. The Jews have been persecuted. Maybe not for Christ's sake, but for God's sake and what they believe in being the chosen people. But there's one message here in which I would like to bring to your attention. I know it seems kind of odd that that we would have to suffer affliction and even unto death. And sometimes the importance of life, because it's still within us, that we should try to our utmost to preserve our life. Yet, this is something that is part of the gospel, that will be part of the gospel. And when these times come upon us, when we see our loved ones persecuted in this manner and some being killed, we have to resolve in our minds as to why. Are we being less faithful? Is that why that individual died? Or was he following the will of God? First of all, let me answer the question as to why this must come about. And I'll use the scripture for that. In Alma, on page 528, there was a specific purpose as to why individuals would be killed. And that's verse Alma 27:28-29. Do you suppose that because so many of your brethren have been killed because of their wickedness? He's asking that question. Do you think it's because of their wickedness that they're being killed? I say unto you, if you have supposed this, you have supposed in vain. For I say unto you, there are many who have fallen by the sword, and behold, it is to your condemnation, or the one who was doing the killing. For the Lord suffereth the righteous to be slain, and this is the reason, that his justice and judgment may come upon the wicked. Therefore ye need not suppose the righteous are lost, because they are slain. But behold, they do enter into the rest of the Lord their God. Does that make sense to you? So these things will come to pass, and there is for the wise purpose of judgment against those who commit those things, that his judgment would be righteous. There was a case in point, if you want to say, of three brothers who were brought before a king, and they were told they were going to be thrown in the fire if they didn't bow down to them, or to the king and their gods, and they flatly said no. And I'd just like to bring to your attention in the third chapter of Daniel, 17th and the 18th verse. And these were their words. And they recognized that their lives were in the hands of God. In the 17th verse it says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire. If it be so. It says, if it will, our God can take us and deliver us from this fire. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now listen to the 18th verse. But if not, was there doubt in his mind? If not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They knew and understand that God had the power to deliver them. But they also knew and understand that they might be another testimony against those who did wickedly. And it was resolved within their mind that they would serve God. And that decision, even if they were thrown in the fire and were burnt, they knew that they had done the will of God as a witness or a testimony against those who done wickedly. In Revelations, the sixth chapter of Revelations, it also verifies that of what the scriptures were saying in Alma, it supports one another. In the sixth chapter and the ninth verse, it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. I take notice that there was a group of people or individuals that were under the altar, or at least they saw this, and the souls of them, and they were crying to the Lord, how long will it be before this judgment is going to come to pass? And he said, wait a minute, guys. It's going to be a little bit longer because there's more who are going to die and testify at that time of that injustice. And so it verifies exactly what the book of Alma says, as well as what is going to happen within our time and in future times. There are, in Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew, it is also recorded in Mark, in the 13th chapter of Mark, and also in Luke, in the 21st chapter. They vary a little bit, but they all basically say the same thing. In Mark, in the 13th chapter, in the 9th through the 10th verse, it states it a little differently. And it brings out this little understanding in which I'm trying to say. In the 9th verse, it says, but take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, and here it is, for a testimony against them. And it says, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. That hasn't occurred yet. So that gives you an idea that that is to come still yet. Luke, the 21st verse in the 13th, 21st chapter in the 13th verse, and says, it shall turn to you for a testimony. It will be unto you a testimony as well as a testimony against those who do these things. Now that 14th verse in which I read in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's another sign for us to understand as to where we're at in the dispensation of time. And Mosiah verifies that this is a true statement, that both scriptures, canon of scriptures, verify one another in their validity. On page 218, verse 121, we read, and moreover I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God Omnipotent. So we find in the 121st verse that this gospel would be spread out through all the nations, just as it said here. In the 14th verse. And so it's for us another sign as to the dispensation of time. Where we're living, where are we at, and what is these scriptures trying to tell us? That all these things would be taking place. As we continue on reading in Matthew, there is, in the 15th verse, it says, and when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I don't have a full understanding of Daniel, of that particular scripture in which they're speaking of. Other than we know that there will be a time which the Gentiles would occupy, in control, and that the heathen nations would overrun Israel. And then there would be a time when the gathering of the house of Israel would begin, or the day of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. And this leading into the mountains and coming down from the housetops and leaving, I honestly can't tell you if it was during that time or in the future. But this I do know, that we must know and understand where our salvation is. And our understanding of the gospel and the love of Christ. And that when these things come upon us to persecute us, that we flee, where? To that Zion. And Zion is not only physical, but it's spiritual, the gospel of Christ. That we find refuge within Christ and His words. And we find that we are close coming to that time in which is that great tribulation period. So that may be a signifying scripture as to when these things may be taking place. And we know and we have the promise that the Lord has our souls in His welfare. Now, during this time in which of great tribulation, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Sometimes that's kind of easy just to run right across and not really give it much thought. But we find today that we might want to consider it and have a better understanding of that. Because we have people and individuals that say, or we do see things that we do not understand, great signs that and wonders that take place, and we wonder about them, that are taking place beyond our gospel or beyond our church, and we wonder about those things. But what, to help us to understand without being too much in the dark, during the time of judgment, Christ was speaking at that time in Matthew, the 7th chapter of Matthew. He says, "There will be those that will come before Him." And it says, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." And then He said, "Many will say to Me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name hast cast out devils, and in Thy name done many mighty wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, ye that work iniquity." They said, they claimed that they did many mighty miracles in the name of the Lord. But the Lord said, "I knew you not." False Christs and false prophets. And in Mark, where it says, "They shall deceive the very elect," instead of deceive, it says seduce, which I think is even more fitting, to draw you away from, to take you away from that which you understand. During this time of persecution and the many great signs and wonders, I think our brother Luke wrote a short verse that is fitting that we might want to take to heart. The 21st chapter in the 19th verse, it says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." In your patience possess ye your souls. think it's something we might want to consider. There's another question that comes about. We hear teaching that there would be, so to speak, a rapture that would come upon the earth. I don't know where they got the word rapture, but that the elect would be removed from the earth prior to Christ's return. And that would be prior also to the tribulation period. And it was to protect the saints. We believe in a Zion. That was that physical Zion in which I was talking about. I also believe that there is a spiritual Zion within us. But there will be a physical Zion. The scriptures bear that out. We find that in Ether, page 750. I just want to bring it to your attention. The sixth and the eighth verse. And that a new Jerusalem should be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph, for which things there has been a type. For as Joseph brought his father down into the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Joseph, if we can recall that story, Joseph saved his people, his family, from that famine. And so is this new Jerusalem is to be. In the eighth verse, wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built up upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance, and they shall build up a holy city, that new Jerusalem, unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old, and they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. So it was also for them to learn and have understanding, being another a physical place. In Joel, we find that it is a refuge. We can get to it here. The second chapter, Joel 31 and 32, we find, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. And that's just one of the signs of Christ's return. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, a place of refuge. As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. So I hope to, I've established that there's a physical Zion as well as spiritual Zion in part. But to tackle that question concerning being removed, let's read on. The 29th verse, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to another. This time, first of all, it says immediately after the tribulation period. So they've already gone through it. And this is the advent of Christ. And this is exactly the sign in which Revelations and Ether, there's many that speak about that sign of the coming of the Son of Man. The sound of the trumpet, that happened to be the last trumpet that you find in Revelations. That was the seventh trumpet. In Thessalonians, this is the scripture in which they use to verify that they would be removed from the earth. But as we read there in the 16th verse, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I'm not saying that this will not happen, because I believe it will. The only thing I am saying is that I do not feel that it will happen before the tribulation period. So don't look for that as an escape. Our escape is Zion. That spiritual and physical Zion. And there will be times in which we will have to remember those words. In your patience, possess ye your souls. I'm trying to shorten this and it's not coming out very well, is it? In Luke, in the 17th chapter, it gives us a little understanding of what's going to happen just prior to the advent of Christ. In the 17th chapter, the 26th verse, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they were married, and had wives, and they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." Life was basically going on as it was, for as all that they could remember. "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Life will be going on just as we could remember it going on. And if we have not prepared or looked for that time of the advent of Christ, it could come upon us unawares. "And in that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back." Remember Lot's wife. "Whoso shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, thither the eagles be gathered together." I think that supports the scripture in Thessalonians and also in Matthew, where when that final trump is trumped by the angel, that the elect would be gathered in from the four winds. And that would be the issuing in of the millennium. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, going back there, I guess the most important thing in which I would hope you to understand this day is that there will be persecutions. There will be things that will come upon you. There will be people who will die for the Lord's name's sake. And we do not want... I know the Lord does not want us to think that it was because that individual was unrighteous. And another thing is to not look for something, a cheap escape, which is being taught among other people, that we're going to have to be here. We will be protected. But we'll be protected in another fashion. There will be times in which they'll be delivered, just as the three were delivered, Meshach, Abednego, as they were delivered as a witness or a testimony of the power of God. But there will be also who will be burnt. Let us not forget that. And that we have to prepare. Because in the 36th verse it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And it's difficult for them to be two different persons, or to be one person. Christ didn't know, but God knows. Then in the 42nd verse, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And there's an admonition given to us in the Gospel of Luke concerning our time that we need to heed and understand and to follow. That's the 21st verse, the 34th, 21st chapter, 34th verse. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Just like it was describing, they would be marrying, they'd be doing all kinds of things just like they would normally be doing, and it, all of a sudden it's there upon them. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Let us remember that last verse. And as we are kneeling in our own private prayers, in our patience possess our souls. Be prepared for those things that will be coming upon the earth. And let us not be deceived by those things in which others may be teaching and preaching. Let us look to the Word for our guidance and direction, and not be deceived in that. And let us flee to Zion, that spiritual Zion, the Word of God and the love of Christ, and have that hope within our hearts of the redemption which the Lord has promised all of us, His children. Thank you.
Our gracious Father, we thank you for this beautiful spirit that has been here. We thank you for the blessings that has been ours and the promises that are fulfilled in the Scriptures in our lives. We thank you for the health of the newborn babies. We continue to pray for those who are to have children, for each of us that have the responsibility of raising children. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will be with us through our meal and through the services this evening, this afternoon, this evening. Be with and protect all those who cannot be here. And I pray for all those who are searching for truth and are honestly searching for thy way, that you might guide and direct them. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.